But the Bible says all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. That's a sign that you're living godly. And I'd like to make a statement right now that might seem shocking. If you haven't been persecuted lately, that's because you're not living godly. If all those that live godly in Christ Jesus are being persecuted, and you're not being persecuted, what does that say about your lifestyle? Could it be that maybe you're hesitant, uncomfortable, or reluctant to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe at work, maybe among your friends, maybe in your neighborhood. Maybe in your neighborhood you're ashamed to go door to door. Could that be the reason? God forbid if it is. I want you please to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, I'd like to read verse 18. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. Blood represents life, and I want you to know, you and I are accountable before God. And what we do with the gospel message, if when I walked up here, as crude as it would have been, if I would have brought with me a bucket of blood and set that bucket right here and put my nice clean hands into that bucket of blood and held my hands up like this, the blood would have been dripping off my hands right now. And you know, in a symbolic way, that's exactly how it will be for Christians when they stand before God, unless they're speaking out to the wicked man in such a way to dissuade them, to alter their course. That's what God has commanded us to do. You know, the Bible says that we've been bought with a price. I want you to know that you're no longer your own. If you're saved, you belong to Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you belong to Jesus. You're His property. There's no such thing as I'm going to do what I want to do anymore. You laid your life down at the cross and you said to Jesus, thy will be done in my life. You know, there are only two kinds of people. C.S. Lewis said there are only two types. Those that will look to God and say, thy will be done. And those that God look upon and say, thy will be done. Which category are you in? God wants us to witness. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 52:14, many were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Speaking of Jesus, that's the kind of price Jesus paid for us. I seen a salvation tract just recently. It says that God loves you so much, he paid the price of his only begotten son to get you. You realize that God wants us to live with him throughout eternity. God wants that drunk to live with him throughout eternity. God wants that adulterer to live with him throughout eternity. But he also wants us to tell them. Because if we don't, the picture shown in the New Testament of an unsaved person is that they are in darkness. Imagine for a minute, let's say right from the very front of this stage on to the back, that it's not just dark up here, but let's say absolute darkness. It's pitch black up here on this platform. And for a minute, I'll be an unsaved person standing over here in darkness. And my eyes are closed. That's exactly what the Bible says. Their eyes are closed. And they're chained up in the chains and the cords of sin. And they can't get out even if they wanted to, but they don't want to. In John chapter 3, they love the darkness. The reason they love it is because they're deceived. And awaiting the unsaved is anger, wrath, and trouble. And the Bible says that God's wrath is abiding on them right now. Right now, those of you that are unsaved, I want you to know the wrath of God is abiding on you. You might be saying, well, things are going pretty good for me. Well, boast not, for tomorrow you know not what a day may bring forth. I want you to know you really do have a soul. There really is a heaven, and there really is a hell. And 100 trillion years from today, you really will be either in heaven or in hell. So the wicked are in a terrible predicament. They're in darkness, their eyes are closed, they're chained up in sin, they're bound up by the god of this age, Satan, and they like it there. That's why we need to go forth with the dynamite of God. We need something that's powerful. Hallelujah. I want you to know I found the answer. It's over here in Romans 1:16. The Apostle Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation for everyone that will believe. Glory be to God. I wonder how many Christians here today can agree with the Apostle Paul that they're not ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul told us what the gospel was, or what the plan of salvation was and what it is. He said it's the power of God unto salvation. That word power in the Greek is the same word used that we get our word dynamite from. It's the word dunamos. I want you to know the dynamite of God is the plan of salvation. That's what the devil does not want us to speak. He doesn't want us to blast the poor sinner out of that wretched, miserable condition into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of light. He doesn't want us to say anything, so he'll try to deceive us. He'll come at us with fear and discouragement. He'll come at you and try to get you to think that you're not called to witness when the Bible says you are. He'll try to get you to think that you just don't know enough of the Bible. Honey, nobody knows the whole Bible. Nobody. Nobody. The Apostle Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, we know in part, we prophesy in part. Nobody has all the answers. But you can tell people what Jesus did for you, and certainly you know enough in the Gospel of John and in the book of Acts to go and tell people about trusting in Jesus alone and submitting their life to Him. Please turn to Luke chapter 12. While you're turning there, I would like to make a statement that if you're not witnessing or standing on the Word of God, regardless what the area might be, if it's witnessing or whatever it might be, because of fear, hatred, persecution, or rejection, then you're not a very good Christian. If you're backing away from the Word of God because of fear, hatred, rejection, or persecution, then you're not a very good Christian. I know that sounds hard. I love you. I was given the command a few minutes ago to correct and encourage. I'm trying to correct you in love. Over here in Luke chapter 12, verse 47, listen to this. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready, or does not do what his master wants, will be beaten with many blows. I don't know what it means to be beaten with many blows, but I know it's not good. And the Bible says right here, the servant that knows his master's will and does not get ready. Some of you might not have known for sure. Maybe when you walked through those doors, you thought maybe that you were not called to witness. Now you know. If you didn't know before, you probably did. But if you didn't know, you do now. The Bible says such a person as that who does not get ready or does not do what his master wants. What does the master want? What does Jesus want? Don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Don't put what your husband or your wife or your mother or your father or your children or what your boss wants first. Find out what the master wants and do it. Do what Jesus wants. Notice verse 48. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I want you to know there's accountability for us. And if any Christian ever in the history of the church has ever been entrusted with much, it has to be us in America in the 20th century. Thank God for all that's available to us. The Word of God is going forth day and night over the TV, over the radio. We have all kind of commentaries, all kind of wonderful Bible translations. There's no excuse for ignorance. No excuse for ignorance. No excuse. And I want you to know that Jesus said right here, to whom much has been given, much will be demanded. When you stand before Jesus Christ, living in America, in the 20th century, God will demand much from you. I wonder just how many hours in a week's time do you spend before the TV? I wonder how many hours you spend reading the newspaper, which is God's word. Excuse me, which is man's word, instead of the Bible, which is God's word. Think about that. Which would you prefer to read? I'm not saying you have to cut out all newspaper reading. It might do you good if you did. But I'm saying we have to set our priorities in accordance to the Word of God. The Bible says right now we are soldiers. We are to endure hardship as a good soldier. We are to press on. We are to fight. I want you to know the devil will battle against you. You might as well know it right now. Before Jesus sent the 12 out and before he sent the 70 out, he told them in no uncertain terms. He said people will hate you, people will reject you, and people will kill you. But do not be afraid of the one that kills you, but cannot destroy your soul. Instead, be afraid of the one that can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna, is what he said. He wanted them to know, not everyone will receive you with open arms. Not everyone will pat you on the back. We read the book of Acts and we learn what happened with the Apostle Paul. Why do you think it happened? It happened because Satan was trying to stop him. Satan was trying to discourage him. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 23, Jesus said that there's a time to rejoice and leap for joy. And he said that time was when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. When you're rejected and hated and excluded, he said, rejoice and leap for joy. Hallelujah. We can leap for joy when you're persecuted for witnessing. I want you to know that if people exclude you, if they cast you out from their friendship because you're going to make a stand for Jesus, what is he doing? Is he handing out another salvation tract? Is he trying to lead that person to Jesus again? That person is a fanatic. I can't understand why he or she does that. Well, they're just obedient to the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is fanatical. No. He that winneth souls is doing something above and beyond the call of duty. No. He that winneth souls is an apostle. No. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. I want you to know from God's perspective who the wise person is. The wise person is not necessarily the one with all kind of letters after his name. It's not necessarily the doctor or the lawyer or the engineer. It could be if they're winning souls. If you're winning souls, you're wise. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, be very careful how you live your life, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Now from Proverbs 11:30, if we would substitute the light from Proverbs 11:30 to that scripture in Ephesians 5, we could read Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 this way. Be very careful then how you live your life, not as unwise but as soul winners, making the most of every opportunity. Guess who said that? The one that said there's only one thing that really matters, and that's the new creation. The one that said, I seek not my own good, but the good of many, that they might be saved. The one that wasn't concerned about his own welfare. All he wanted to do was to please the Master. All he wanted to do was to live for Jesus and do the things that Jesus would have him do. And that's reflected in the emphasis that he put upon soul winning, witnessing. So there's a definite main difference between you and first century Christians unless you're witnessing. And again, I say that in love. I don't mean to offend you. But there's a main difference between you and first century Christians unless you're witnessing. I don't care how often you pray. I don't care if you talk in tongues day and night. I don't care if you can lay hands on 1,000 people and 1,000 people will get healed. Just like that. I don't care how much Bible knowledge you have. I don't care what you do. If you're not witnessing, there's a main difference between you and first century Christians. Because the first century Christians, they all witnessed. What would you think of somebody that said they were saved and they didn't pray? You would say, well, there's something wrong with that person. I want you to know there's something wrong with the person that claims to know Jesus and doesn't witness. They're either backslid or they're deceived. But I want you to know, thank God you don't have to be after today. Praise God for His mercy. He'll forgive you and all your sins will be forgiven and forgotten. And if you've been indifferent in this area, please don't be indifferent anymore. You can receive forgiveness of sins from that apathy before you even walk out these doors. And I'd like to make a statement right now because I firmly feel there are some people here that are not saved. Would like to take a few minutes and speak to you, to the rest of you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We're not talking about a lake of water. We're talking about a lake of fire. Anyone, you, me, anyone, if our names are not written in the book of life, we will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's why Jesus said we must be born again. Jesus is our only hope. He paid such a dear price for us. Friend, He loves you so much. He wants you to come just like you are. That dying thief came to Jesus as a dying thief. He said, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And instantly he was forgiven. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. How would you like to have a paradise future? You can. But only in Jesus. It's only found in Him. There's only one way to get there. And Jesus is the answer. And I'm pleading with you. Please, regardless whatever it might be that might have slowed you up in the past, don't let it slow you up anymore. Whoever the person might be, whatever your favorite sin is, don't let it slow you up anymore. It's not worth it. Please, 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 surrender your life to Jesus. Trust in Him alone. The Bible says, do not be deceived. In 1 Corinthians 6, I'd like to read something to you. Verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Don't be deceived. If you're in that category, and you probably are, don't be deceived. There's no possible chance that you'll enter. You'll not slip into the kingdom of God. But there's hope for you in Jesus. It's only found in Him. Look at what Paul used to be. Remember, I just referred to the scripture, the dying thief who went to Jesus right here. It says that thieves will not enter the kingdom of God. But that thief came to Jesus. Instantly he was forgiven, and Jesus said he would be in paradise with Him. Jesus loves you. He died for you. I'd like to ask you a question to the whole body here. I would like to do it this way. I would like you, each and every one of you, to close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes right where you're at. And think about this question. Are you absolutely certain if you would die today, if you'd go to heaven? How many people here are absolutely positive? You're absolutely certain that if you would die today, you'd go to heaven. If you're absolutely sure, raise your hand. Okay, you could put your hands down. Everybody could open their eyes again. You didn't raise your hand. Chances are the reason you're not certain is because you're not saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit of God bears witness or testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You will know. I want you to know I stand behind this pulpit absolutely, positively convinced. I know that I know that I know that I know that if I died, go to heaven. Some of you here, most of you here know what I'm talking about. But some of you here don't. And the reason you don't, because you need to get saved. Today's your day. Today's your day to get saved. Now what I'd like you to do, those of you that would like to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, would like you to stand to your feet. I say that because, listen to this, in the New Testament you will find out that when people came to Jesus Christ, he never gave some kind of secret altar call. You're going to have to make a public confession, a bold stand for the Lord Jesus. You're going to enter the kingdom of God, and right here's the best time. Right now will be the easiest time for you, and right now you might as well stand to your feet. The Spirit of God has been speaking to you, and you know there's something in your life that should not be there, and I want you to know, thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you of any kind of sin, and it will forgive you. He will forgive you. That blood will wash you right now, right where you are today. Is there anyone here who would like to commit their life to Jesus? If so, stand to your feet right now. Stand up. Don't be ashamed. If I was unsaved, I don't care who the 10 strongest people in this sanctuary are. They could not drag me out of that sanctuary through those doors without me first accepting Jesus. And that's absolutely the truth. I would repent and submit my life to Jesus before I'd hit those doors. I studied the place where the wicked will go, where you will go, unless you accept Jesus. Some of you husbands, you've been coming here to church with your wives. They're saved and you're not. Some of you wives have been coming here with your saved husbands. They're saved and you're not. Time for you to get right with God. You better lay all that junk aside. You better commit your life to Jesus. God wants us hot. He said that if we're lukewarm, he'll spit us out of his mouth. And if we're cold, we're not going to make it. So there's only one other category, and that's hot. And that's where we better be. If there's no one here that would like to give their life to Jesus Christ, then I'd like you please to think about this. All of you. For those of you that know the Lord Jesus, if you've been remiss in the past regarding your responsibilities in the Great Commission, press on in a way that you've never pressed on before. Know that the devil will try to discourage you and cause you to fear. And he'll try to stop you one way or another, I guarantee it. But be like the Apostle Paul. He was knocked down, but he said he's not knocked out. He didn't get through the battle without scars in his body. He said in Galatians chapter 6, people were accusing him of being a false apostle. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He had scars on his body. He was stoned and drug out of Lystra. He was flogged and beaten. That man had battle scars on him. And this day and age, sad to say, if a Christian gets called a name, if their friends tend to reject them, They're ready to backslide instantly. What a difference from first century Christianity. Before I turn the service back over to Dr. Lane, we'd just like to say one final word. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he said this to carnal Christians, to baby Christians. He said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Paul said, run, put out an effort, strive, do all you can to do everything that God would have you do. Because just like a runner, there's going to be resistance that you're going to have to come up against. You're going to have to battle and press on. A runner is aching in his muscles, in his nerves, his body. He's out of breath, but he's pressing on. And that's just how the winner is. And that's just what God wants us to do. He wants us to press on that way. Dr. Lane.
I think it would be very appropriate if Janice Simpkins would come up and lead us in the song that she wrote to the Lord.
Preach the gospel to Praise the Lord.